أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
الحمد لله.
Hazur says, Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. Today, the Jalsa Salana of Jamaat Ahmadiyya Germany is commencing. This year, in light of the shortcomings of the previous year, the administration has striven to make some improvements. The first issue was of the sound. Today, we will learn to what extent improvement has been made in this regard. Last year was the first Jalsa in this hall in Karlsruhe. For this reason, it is obvious that some shortcomings and difficulties emerge which arise by moving to a new location. This is not something for which the administration ought to be criticized to a large degree. Indeed, the administration could have been deserving of criticism if they did not pay heed to their shortcomings and their mistakes, and they did not make efforts to rectify them. However, as I mentioned, the administration kept in view their shortcomings and endeavored to rectify and improve on them. Last year, the costs shot up due to certain wrong estimations and also due to this being a new venue. This year, the administration have made attempts to keep the costs down. Nonetheless, most certainly, there is still room for improvement and rectification. The administration should keep their eye on this. That progressive nations and people take benefit from their experiences and march forward. They do so at times based on their own experiences and at other times based on the experiences of others. And they try to practice and adopt all good things and good words of advice. It is this very counsel that was given to us by our master, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, that the good word of wisdom is a lost property of a believer. Wherever it is found, it should be taken. For within this is found the secret of spiritual and worldly progress. Last year when I came to Germany, I mentioned this very hadith to the Lord Mayor of Berlin, or whoever the senior person there is who holds the rank of district governor. I thus mentioned this hadith to him, and he responded that if this is your teaching and if this is the way you act, then very quickly you will win over the world or convince them to your way. This was more or less the subject of what he said. Inshallah, God enabling, this will come to pass. In any case, if we are a progressive people, and indeed we most certainly are, then we should not close our eyes to our shortcomings. Rather, we should keep an eye on them, and we need to give heed towards rectification and improvement. Further, it is insufficient to just look at that from a worldly perspective. Rather, we are those who claim that in this age, we have accepted Hazrat Masih Maud, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, who on the face of the earth was the most greatest and ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. He came to draw our attention towards the rights of Allah the Almighty. He came to draw our attention towards the rights owed to the creation of Allah the Almighty. Thus, all of these aspects demands of us that we should view every single thing, every single matter with the eye of taqwa, that is righteousness and the fear of God. We must develop the fear of Allah the Supreme within our hearts. We need to fulfill that covenant of our bayt, our initiation, which we made at the hands of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. Thus, keeping in view all these points, we need to remove all our weaknesses from within us, and for this we would need to make efforts. These do not only include administrative shortcomings but also individual shortcomings. When every single person comes to attend the jalsa with this way of thinking, when every man and every woman keeps this lofty viewpoint within their minds, and in the same way, when the administration keeps all these points in view, or it can be said in other words, if they keep taqwa in view in running their administration, then subsequently through the blessings of Jalsa, all the attendees and all the duty workers will derive benefit. And altogether, the steps of the Jamaat will leap forward. Inshallah, God enabling. It should always be remembered that where the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, expounding the objectives of Jalsa, has spoken of worship, tabligh, that is preaching, taqwa, that is righteousness, and also numerous other aspects and drawn attention towards them, there he has especially mentioned fulfilling the rights due to other people, and in particular he has spoken profusely on compassion for all mankind. In reality, if genuine sympathy and compassion for mankind is generated in the heart of a person, then automatically the fulfillment of the rights due to other people is also realized. Thus, every single Ahmadi needs to give attention towards this. Whenever the promised Messiah alayhi salam advertised or announced the Jalsa Salana, he especially mentioned this particular aspect, where he has drawn attention towards the fear of Allah the Almighty, taqwa and devotion. There he has drawn attention to the same intensity towards gentleness, mutual love, brotherhood, humbleness and humility. And he meant that worship alone does not entail taqwa. Merely serving the Jamaat is not what taqwa is. To only express love for Allah and His Messenger is not taqwa. To simply display obedience and a connection with Khilafat and the promised Messiah on whom be peace is not taqwa. Rather, taqwa will at that point be perfected and completed when the rights of the parents are also fulfilled, when the rights owed to your wives and children are also discharged, when the rights due to your husbands and their children are also fulfilled, when the rights to your kith and kin are fulfilled, when the rights of your friends are also provided, when the rights of your neighbors are also discharged, when the rights of your siblings are also given, when the rights of the members of the community are given, to the extent that when the rights of your enemies are paid, it is at that point that taqwa is completed and perfected. And all of this is taught in the Holy Quran. We have come to attend the Jalsa to facilitate our spiritual progress. Thus, where on the one hand the participants of the Jalsa need to keep an eye on their worship and discharging the rights owed due to Allah the Supreme, there on the other hand you should also keep in view that where on the one hand you give attention towards your prayers, worship, supplication and remembrance of Allah the Supreme, there you should also give attention towards mutual love, friendship and also compassion. And whilst doing so, you need to self-reflect. Otherwise, you may have come to a place in which people have congregated together in a gathering. You may have come to a place where your friends and your relatives and also like-minded people have all come together. You may have come to a place where you derive benefit from certain intellectual and educational speeches. And you may enjoy and take delight from listening to them. However, you will not have attained the real purpose and objective of the Jalsa Salana. For the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has drawn attention most profusely, giving attention towards the rights owed to people and showing compassion to your brothers. The administration should inform me that in light of the echo that can be heard, can people actually hear what is being said? Check it and inform me. When once the promised Messiah on whom be peace, observing the behavior and state of a certain segment of the Jamaat or the community, he postponed the Jalsa. And whilst doing so, he stated that I have come to learn that certain people, after joining the Jamaat and after taking the pledge of this humble one and also pledging to repent, they are still of the same adverse state. They look upon the disadvantaged brothers like ferocious animals. Out of conceit and arrogance, they cannot look straightly upon them and say, "Assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you." Not to speak of acting with compassion and kindness. I see some of them in such deep selfishness and low morals. He said, I see some of them in such deep selfishness and low morals that as a result of their deep selfishness, they quarrel with others on these petty worldly matters. And on these trivial points, they attack one another to the extent that at times they abuse the other and they develop spite and grudges in the heart. Then the promised Messiah says that I am astonished that, by God, what is this state? What is this Jamaat which is with me? Why do their hearts submit upon selfish desires? And why does one brother taunt the other brother and desire to rise above the other? I say most truly that the faith of a person cannot be rectified and reformed until he gives priority and precedence to the comfort of his brother over his own personal comfort. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, stated that until God Almighty through His special grace and blessing, develops kindness, gentleness, compassion, and forbearance. Until then, it is not appropriate that we should continue with this jalsa. Hazur says, observe that as a result of the lack of mutual love, mutual affection, mutual sympathy and compassion, and mutual sentiments of sacrifice and goodwill in the members of the community of the Jamaat, how much pain, suffering, and anguish is being expressed by the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. And as a punishment, he postponed the Jalsa Salana. Some people assume that as a result of the shortcomings in the administration and as a result of a lack of resources, the Jalsa was not held. However, the real reason behind postponing the Jalsa was a lack of mutual compassion and also the expression of conceit and arrogance by some people. This inflicted the promised Messiah alayhi salam in deep anguish and pain. I remember a few years ago, I called an emergency shura here in Germany when the matters of the Jalsa were presented there. From the statement made by a person there, I realized that perhaps in his or others' presumption, the postponement of the Jalsa for 1 year was due to a lack of resources and means. However, this was not the reason. The real reason was a deep pain and anguish felt by the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, as a result of people not harboring love and compassion for their brothers. Thus, always remember that not having sentiments of compassion and sympathy for others, to not respect and regard others, are not trivial matters. Every Ahmadi, when he does not fulfill the rights of others or does not hold sentiments of compassion and love for others, should keep the following statement of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, in view, that I am astonished that by God, what is happening? What is this state? Which community is this that is with me? As I stated, the purpose of this Jalsa is not only to fulfill the rights due to God Almighty, rather for the sake of Huquq al-Abad, the rights due to man to inculcate pious reformation within. This is necessary. The promised Messiah alayhi salam said with deep anguish and pain, people observe prayer but they are unaware of its reality until the heart submits emotionally in prostration. The physical movements of prostration mean nothing, and it is futile to have any hope or expectations from there. Thus, no one should be delighted or feel a sense of pride over their prayers, nor should anyone be delighted over their services to the Jamaat, nor should anyone be happy over receiving a certain position within the community, nor should anyone be happy over performing a financial sacrifice until this humility, humbleness, and sentiments of compassion are also present. When, alongside Huquq Allah, the rights due to Allah, sentiments of Huquq al-Abad, the rights due to man, are also developed, subsequently, he will tread on the true path of taqwa, that is righteousness and the fear of God. And the person who treads on the true path of taqwa is not delighted upon any act of piety. He does not feel a sense of pride over performing a virtuous deed. Rather, the fear of Allah the Almighty increases further when he performs a good act. After performing a virtuous deed, he remains engrossed in this concern that will or will not this act of piety be accepted by Allah the Supreme. Thus, true piety develops taqwa, and taqwa develops humbleness and humility within a person. It is precisely this that the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, in this age came to develop within us. You can envisage and gauge the importance of holding compassion and sympathy for others by the fact that in the conditions of birth, which are fundamental to be called a true Ahmadi, in its fourth condition, the promised Messiah alayhi salam states, that under the impulse of any passions, he or she shall cause no harm whatsoever to the creatures of God in general and Muslims in particular, neither by his or her tongue, hands, nor any other means. Therefore, it is not only Ahmadi Muslims, but rather each and every single Muslim should be safe from being inflicted with any inappropriate harm or suffering by them. Further, this is not only limited to Muslims, rather all of the creation of Allah the Almighty must be safe from them. There are many a people who do not cause harm to others. They mind their own business. They are pure of the evil of causing harm to others. Such a person should not assume that he has obtained the highest level of virtue and piety. For every step of a mu'min, a true believer should march forward and onward, and it must do so. Otherwise, he cannot progress in his righteousness and in his faith. It is for this reason that in the ninth condition of the bayt, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has stated that he or she shall keep himself or herself occupied in the service of God's creatures for his sake only, and shall endeavor towards the beneficence of mankind to the best of his or her God-given abilities and powers. Thus, true piety will be manifested when a person's ultimate aim is to achieve the pleasure of Allah, and when, for the sake of obtaining this pleasure, he uses all his capabilities for the welfare, compassion, and sympathy of the creation of God. Amongst God's creation, the greatest is humankind, who is Ashraf al-Makhlukat, the most eminent of all creation. Therefore, a person becomes a true human when he gives attention towards Huquq-ul Abad, the rights due to mankind, and when he gives attention towards benefiting his brothers and others. I have stated on a number of occasions, when addressing non-Muslims who discuss giving the rights to others, I present to them this quality and virtue of Islam, that whereas in your worldly system, certain rights are demanded. And it says that these are our rights. Give us these rights, otherwise we will use force. But Islam says that if you desire the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, then you should give other their rights. In the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty has mentioned what those rights are, which a person should give to others. Thus, this is a difference between the worldly system and the system made by God the Supreme. More often than not, in the worldly system, there are discussions about obtaining rights. At times, often inappropriate means are utilized. Allah the Almighty says to mu'mins or believers that if you are a true believer, if you desire to obtain my pleasure, then give other their rights. It is not only that you should give other their rights when demanded, rather you should keep this objective in view and discharge the rights of others. Act justly and fulfill the rights of others. Out of love and compassion for others, discharge these rights. Now, if you observe, this sentiment of compassion and love, if is born in every single Ahmadi and is kept in view at all time, and they try to fulfill the rights of others, there will be no question whatsoever that within the Jamaat there would ever be quarrels or fights or arguments, which are then faced by the Nizami Jamaat, the system and administration of the Jamaat. Much of the time which is spent by the Khalifa Waqt to solve such issues and problems, or the hundreds of letters which are received every month mentioning problems and issues of this light and which have to be replied to or which have to be marked to relevant departments, that very time can be spent in other more constructive work which could be beneficial for the Jamaat. When such problems and issues are sent to the Khalifa, he will undoubtedly look at them and he will do so for the betterment of the administration, for the sake of reformation, and also out of compassion and love. That may not any Ahmadi, out of selfishness, out of a concern for his own rights, usurp the rights of others and face tribulation and trial, and thus become the recipient of the anger of God the Almighty. Or may not any victim become the target of cruelty and oppression. On some occasions, such matters emerge in which the people concerned do not accept the verdict of the Jamaat or the Khalifa of the time. They do not accept the advice given. They are not satisfied with the reasons and explanations given. Instead, they display stubbornness and an adamant in their view. Thus, such people are also sometimes given a firm response. And sometimes I respond to such people that, very well, if you are not prepared to accept this verdict, then the Jamaat also will have no concern and link with your matters. Or at times, firm measures are taken. And punishment is also meted out. However, sentiments of sympathy compels to pray for these people. That Allah the Almighty guides these people, and as a result of these worldly matters, they should not push behind their faith and ruin their life in the hereafter. Where the promised Messiah on whom be peace has stated that the initiate will not cause any inappropriate harm, this means that at times, in certain matters and certain issues, another person could be inflicted with pain and suffering, which is permissible. As I stated, that one meaning of this statement of the promised Messiah alayhi salam is that a person should not intentionally and purposefully be a cause of harm or suffering to others. This is the grandeur and splendor of a believer, that he should never be the source of intentional harm or suffering of another person. The second meaning of this is that at times, out of obligation and necessity, certain measures have to be taken by the administration of the Khalifa of the time, which are a means of pain and suffering for others. However, these measures are taken for the sake of reformation. These measures are for the sake of betterment and improvement. And these measures are not inappropriate. However, even in this state, out of compassion and love, any person who has to pass through this punishment and this pain and suffering, one should most certainly pray for them. And the Khalifa of the time, most of all, has to pass through this state where he looks, that may not anyone be caused pain and suffering due to me. May not I purposely, with all my God-given capabilities, be the cause of injustice towards another. Through my actions and measures, may I not destroy the peace of the home of another. Rather, this is not the only thing that is thought. Rather, such a means should be adopted which should express sympathy, compassion and love for the person concerned, which should provide the means of betterment and improvement and reformation for the person. These are the prerequisites and requirements of justice, compassion and love that the Khalifa of the time has to fulfill. And keeping in view the apparent mean available, it is the task and duty of the Khalifa of the time that he fulfills these requirements. Then, in terms of the administration of the Jamaat, the office holders of the Jamaat who are appointed by the Khalifa Waqt, the Khalifa of the time, it is their responsibility that they should carry out their duties with these sentiments of justice and compassion. Those who do not act like this, those who purposely do not fulfill their responsibilities, they are cheating their trusts. And most certainly they will be held to account by God the Supreme. So therefore, this is a matter of great fear and concern for office holders as well. Jamaat offices are not for any worldly objective. Rather, they should be carried out with this sentiment that after coming into this position, more than before, we need to serve the members of the Jamaat, and we need to display compassion and love towards them, and need to search for paths of betterment and improvement for them, and we need to take them along the path with us, so that the links of the Jamaat can bond and strengthen, and so that the progress of the Jamaat can reach its maximum speed. Thus, these sentiments of compassion and sympathy should be born in every single office holder. It should be developed in every duty worker of the Jamaat. When office holders establish their own examples, then they will also discharge the right of this service to the community. The Promised Messiah on whom be peace states that to be a servant of the nation is a sign of being a leader. In other words, when you become the servant of the nation, you will then be granted leadership and greatness by Allah the Almighty. And this is granted by Allah the Almighty alone. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that the leader of a nation is the servant of the nation. And indeed, he should be so. Reading and listening to hadith or narrations of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will only be beneficial when efforts are made to implement and practice what is entailed within them. Office holders undoubtedly must elevate their character to the highest levels. People also say things and cause harm and suffering. However, it is the duty of an office holder that he should act with patience and forbearance, and he should never let his sentiments of sympathy and compassion die for the other person. The Promised Messiah on whom be peace states that to repress or to devour anger and to swallow unpleasant things is a greater chivalry. This is actually an explanation of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's statement that a powerful person is not he who overpowers another man. A truly powerful person is he who at the time of anger controls his rage. It is only when you control your anger that the requirements of justice can be fulfilled, and it is only then that decisions are made with sympathy and compassion. Thus, this is the standard that our office holders must strive to adopt. All of these things that I am saying are not limited to the office holders of Germany. Rather, I am addressing the office holders in the entire world. I am addressing the office holders of Britain, of Pakistan, of India, of America and Canada, of Australia, Indonesia, and also Africa. The reason why I am making this clarification is that people assume that this state is only found in the people where the khutbah or sermon is being delivered. Just as in normal khutbahs, every member of the Jamaat is being addressed, similarly, if a particular group or segment is being addressed, then they are being addressed wherever they are found in the world. For now, through the means of MTA, Allah the Almighty has provided an easy means for the Khalifa of the time to convey his message through this facility. Thus, different things are said in different places, but all the members of the Jamaat around the world are being addressed. Indeed, this is most certainly the good fortune of that country, where, for example, if I am in Germany, the people of Germany have the good fortune, or those people are fortunate who are sitting right before me and who are directly listening to my words, that they can consider themselves the first addressees. However, always remember that the conditions of birth or initiation that I read out are not limited to only a specific group of people, or are not restricted to only a certain segment. Rather, they are addressed and applied to every single Ahmadi. Each and every such person is addressed who considers himself attached to the system of the community. For the sake of clarification, I mentioned about office holders that because they should be examples before the Jamaat, they must self-reflect more than others on their inner state. Thus, this is not a guideline or instruction that is limited. Rather, this is necessary for each and every member of the Jamaat. Hence, whilst always reflecting on these words of the condition of the bayat or the initiation, strive to always implement them. What level should they be implemented at? I shall further elucidate this. As I mentioned, that within this fourth condition of the bayat, the promised Messiah, Noon be peace, has deemed it necessary for an Ahmadi that he or she should never harm another with his hand or tongue. This level can then be obtained by a person when he treads on the path of taqwa, that is righteousness and the fear of God, and when his heart is filled with the fear of God. It is mentioned in a hadith or a narration of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, narrated by Hadrat Abu Huraira, that the Holy Prophet said, "Do not bear jealousy against another, do not quarrel against another, do not hold spite and enmity against another, and none amongst you should bid over the bid of another. O men of God, become brothers amongst each other. A Muslim is a brother of another Muslim. He never acts cruelly to another. He never disgraces his Muslim brother, and he never looks down in contempt upon him." Further, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam thrice pointed towards his heart and stated, "Taqwa is here, taqwa is here, taqwa is here." He said, "It is enough for the sin of a person that he looks down in contempt upon his Muslim brother.
خون مال ہر مسلمان پر دوسرے مسلمان کا خون مال اور عزت حرام ہے."
The blood, property and honor of another Muslim is forbidden for another Muslim. Look around in the world today. Cruelty and oppression is rife. The rights of others are being usurped. There are Muslims who are smiting the necks of other Muslims. The persecution and barbarism that we see intensified in all directions. The foundation of all of this is jealousy and the lack of taqwa. We are most fortunate that we have accepted the imam of this age and are safeguarded from this extremism. However, on a small scale, within our homes and households, within our society, these diseases are present, which have been mentioned in the hadith. If every single one of us realistically fulfills the rights of justice and self-reflects upon their own state, they will realize themselves that I am not saying anything wrong. Ill will between brothers is based on jealousy. Ill will amongst certain members of the Jamaat is also based on jealousy. Similarly, in women, ill will is based on jealousy. Jealousy begins when a person thinks that such and such person has been granted this position. Why have I not been assigned to that position? If each and every single one of us firmly believes that Jamaat Ahmadiyya, the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, is a divine community, and indeed it is, then instead of desiring to hold an office, attention should be given towards performing istighfar, seeking forgiveness of one's sins, that if I am ever assigned to this office, that I should perform it in a most excellent manner. Regarding one who desires to hold office, the Holy Prophet ﷺ stated that such a person should not even be given the office. Further, Allah the Almighty states that safeguard your trusts. You will be questioned regarding them. Service to the Jamaat and positions of office are trusts. If a person has taqwa in the heart, then he will always remain fearful that if I do not discharge this right of the responsibility assigned to me, I will be held to account. Not by a person who I can deceive through words. Rather, I will be held to account before that knower of the unseen, the all-knowing and all-aware Lord, before whom nothing is hidden or concealed, and who can never be deceived. Thus, if this point is kept in view by every single office holder and those who desire to hold an office, then instead of selfish desires, they will march forward towards righteousness, that is taqwa. It is lack of taqwa that gives vent to grudges. And then ultimately a time arrives when such a state comes about in the person, when he or she schemes and plots of how they can prove the other person to be lowly, how they can highlight his shortcomings, how they can disgrace that person before the administration of the Jamaat or before the Khalifa of the time. And these schemes are carried out to the extent that he plots that how in certain gatherings he can disgrace his wife and children. In other words, sometimes the entire family is involved in these schemes. Thus, on one side, a person pledges on the conditions of the bayah that not only will I never cause harm or suffering to others, but rather I will search for the path of compassion and sympathy. I will strive to impart benefit to others. Yet on the other hand, he acts in this way. Therefore, as I stated, to obtain this level and standard, we need to self-reflect and self-analyze. During these days, analyze your own state. Allah the Almighty has assigned this day for your reformation. I am not saying all of these things out of presumption. Rather, in reality, such matters genuinely come to light, which become a source of anxiety and worry for me, and also become the means of great embarrassment for me. Because on the one hand, I inform the world that Jamaat Ahmadiyya is that community that searches for the path of discharging the rights to others, that they believe in that Messiah and Mahdi who is sent in this age by God Almighty to show people the fine path of taqwa. And on the other hand, what is the condition of certain people? What will non-Muslims say observing this? That what are your claims? What is the behavior and actions of your people? Therefore, if we are to become a means of a revolution in the world, then we also need to bring a revolution in our lives. Such a revolution that the promised Messiah alayhi salam expected of us in light of the beautiful teachings of Islam. Further, one advice and counsel given in this hadith, I leave aside the other ones, in which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam stated, do not unfairly hamper the bid of another person. This does not only mean that in order to disturb the business or trade deal of another, that out of grudge and spite do not try to ruin another's trade or business deal. And because of having greater resources and out of a motive of ruining someone else's bid or deal, to not unfairly raise the cost. In fact, there is a great and wide scope to this instruction. For example, sometimes it comes to light. One has a marriage proposal in a certain place. That discussion is taking place, but another person comes at the same time with another marriage proposal. For one, if one is aware of the situation, no one should send a marriage proposal when another marriage proposal is being discussed, neither from the girl's side or boy's side. Secondly, if a marriage proposal is being discussed between a girl and a boy, they and their family should decide regarding the first marriage proposal based on prayers. And they should not even consider the marriage proposal that has come after. They should only consider it in the instance when, after prayers, they are not satisfied with the first marriage proposal. Also, at times such a situation arises that there is a marriage proposal for a girl from a boy. However, a third party holds a grudge against a boy or a girl. They reach the girl or boy's house and say that the boy or girl have this and this defect and we will present to you a better marriage proposal, reject the one that you have received. However, that better marriage proposal is never presented. Thus, in this way, out of spite, grudge, rancor and a lack of taqwa, two households are destroyed. Then at times, in order to disgrace the girl and the girl's side, such schemes and ploys are thought up. where the girl is stained with disgrace and a means to discredit her, and this is all as a result of jealousy. Thus, out of one sin, another sin continues to be born, and blame and accusations are leveled against the girl. Thus, follow this commandment of the Messenger of Allah, that fill your heart with taqwa in every matter, demonstrate taqwa and implement it. The standard of taqwa that you must follow is that best example that has been mentioned in the Holy Quran. لَقَدْ كَانُ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That verily you have in the Prophet of Allah an excellent model. A mu'min, a true believer, has not only been defined as one from whom other Muslims are safeguarded of the evil of. Rather, a true believer is he from whom all mankind is safeguarded from the evil from. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in terms of his sympathy and compassion for mankind, was at the pinnacle. In his kindness and love towards others, he was at the pinnacle and highest level. There is no quality and no attribute which the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not reach the pinnacle of. Thus today, when we have gathered together to inculcate pious reformations within ourselves, we need to reconsider and remind ourselves of them and of these words of advice, which have been conveyed to us by the example and by virtue of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, stated that faith is merely kind-heartedness and sympathy. It was asked of him that kind-heartedness and sympathy to whom? He said, with Allah, with His Book, with His Messenger, with the Muslim leaders and with all people. Thus, for a true believer, there is no means of escape. The rank of kind-heartedness and sympathy to all mankind has been raised to that rank that without discharging it, neither can the rights due to Allah be discharged, nor can the rights due to His Book and His Messenger be fulfilled. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has elucidated this. He has stated that true righteousness cannot be attained by performing just one virtue. It can only be obtained when all forms of virtue are striven to be performed. Look at how our Master and Guide, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, for the sake of obtaining the highest moral standards, offered this supplication which demonstrates the pinnacle of humility, that Prophet, who was always overwhelmed with grief and exhausted his life out of sympathy and compassion for even his enemies, whose every part and particle of his body was filled with mercy and love for others. Yet he prays in complete humility and helplessness to Allah the Almighty that, O my Lord, I seek refuge with Thee from bad morals, bad deeds and bad desires. Thus, this is at taqwa, regarding which the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, pointed towards his heart and said, it is found here. And this is that perfect example which Allah the Almighty has commanded us to follow. Thus, how much do we stand in need of this prayer? How much do we stand in need to self-reflect? How much do we stand in need to look inside our hearts and feel ashamed? Further, he states, one who alleviates the worldly suffering and anxiety of another Muslim on the Day of Judgment, Allah the Almighty will alleviate him of his anxiety and suffering. And one who provides comfort to a destitute and arrange for his ease, Allah the Almighty will provide him with ease in hereafter. One who covers the faults of another Muslim, Allah the Almighty will cover his faults in the hereafter. God the Supreme remains prepared to help one who remains prepared to help his brother. Therefore, who is he who can claim that on the Day of Resurrection, I will remain free from all types of anxieties and restlessness? Who is he who will be proud upon his deeds that I have performed many virtuous acts? I have carried out numerous pious actions. Therefore, this world is a place of great worry and anxiety. A mu'min or a true believer should always remain in this concern. that I should tread on the path expounded by Allah and obtain piety. Who knows what act of mine will bring me close to Him, will become the means of my forgiveness. How beautiful is our Lord! How beautiful is our Messenger, who has explicitly explained to us every single action and deed. No act has been given lesser importance or significance. Thus, how fortunate are those persons who always remain engrossed in striving to please Allah the Supreme and facilitating for their life in the hereafter. They remain constantly engaged in this endeavor so that Allah the Almighty removes their anxieties, so that Allah the Supreme provides them with ease and comfort, the promised Messiah on whom be peace. Regarding mutual sympathy and kindness states, kindness and compassion towards mankind is a great act of worship and is a fantastic and magnificent means of obtaining the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. However, I observe that great weakness is demonstrated in this matter. Others are considered insignificant, they are mocked and ridiculed. To look after them or to alleviate them in a time of difficulty or distress is far from them. Rather, they mock and ridicule others. Further, the promised Messiah states, compassion and sympathy for mankind is such an act that if a person refrains from displaying it and distances himself from it, he gradually becomes like an animal. The requirement of the humanity in a person is this, and a person remains truly a human when he displays kindness, compassion and sympathy to others without distinction. Then the promised Messiah on whom be peace states, whilst elucidating the superior qualities of Islam and Muslims as compared to other religions, that the extent to which the Quran mentions the rights of the parents, the children, the close relatives and the other people such as the needy, I do not think they have been mentioned in this manner in any other religious book, as Allah the Almighty states, وَعْبَدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ الْجَنْبِ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ مُخْتَالًا فَخُورًا. That you should worship God, do not associate anyone with Him, be kind to your parents, and also be kind to those who are related to you. Within this is included all your relatives, brothers, children, close and far relatives. Then the verse says, also be kind to orphans, as well as the needy. Similarly, show compassion to such neighbors who are related to you, and also such neighbors who are strangers. Be kind to such people who are associated with you in any work, or who accompany you in any journey, or who pray alongside you, or who study religious knowledge with you, as well as the wayfarers. And in fact, all living things which are possessed by you, be kind to all of them. God the Supreme does not keep as a friend one who displays arrogance and is boastful, and who does not display mercy upon others. In one place, the promised Messiah states, be merciful to the people of God. Do not harm them with your hand, tongue, or any other means. Make efforts for the betterment of the creation of God, and do not show arrogance to anyone, even those who are under you. Do not abuse anyone, even if he may abuse you. Be sympathetic to the poor, to the pious, and to the creation, so that you can be accepted. If you are of a higher status, be merciful to those who are of a lower status. If you are knowledgeable, counsel those who are ignorant rather than disgrace them out of arrogance. If you are rich, serve the poor rather than out of selfishness, be arrogant to them. Fear the path of destruction. Thus, this is the teaching of the promised Messiah alayhi salam for the Jamaat, and the expression of the state of his heart, so that not only do we present our pious models before the world, but rather that we further become those who absorb the mercy of Allah the Supreme. It is mentioned in a hadith, a saying of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he stated, "The merciful God shows mercy to those who are merciful to others. Be merciful to mankind on earth, and the one in the heavens will show mercy to you." Thus, when we beg for the mercy of God, when we pray to Allah the Almighty in the knowledge that His mercy is all-encompassing over everything and everyone, then we also need to enhance and increase our sentiments of compassion and sympathy to mankind more than before. Thus, during these days where Ahmadis, through remembrance of Allah and worship, strive to strengthen their relationship with Allah the Supreme, there, on the other hand, they should also endeavor to increase their love of mankind and to remove their grudges and to elevate their moral standards to the highest standards possible. Purely for the sake of the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, give attention towards fulfilling the rights of others. This cannot be achieved until you remove the grudges, spite and rancor in the heart. True sentiments of compassion and sympathy of mankind is expressed at that point, when one shows sympathy and compassion to every single person without distinction and without discrimination. Then that true sentiment of compassion leads one to praying for one another. Subsequently, through praying for one another, the establishment of taqwa is manifested. It facilitates the purity of the heart and the soul. And new standards of huquq al-abad, discharging the rights due to mankind, are reached. Thus, those aspects upon which the Promised Messiah alayhi salam has taken a pledge from us are not ordinary or trivial matters. They are also essential to bring about revolution in our lives. They are necessary to acquire the pleasure of God the Supreme. They are also required to spread the beautiful teachings of Islam and to bring about a revolution in the society. Thus, during these days, strive to enhance these sentiments continuously. Pray also that may Allah the Almighty grant everyone the ability to achieve this. May Allah the Exalted make everyone the recipient of the prayers of the Promised Messiah, on whom be peace. May all of us be those who accumulate the blessings of the Jalsa. May our generations to come continue to be attached and connected to Ahmadiyyat, and may they bring about a revolution in the inner state. May Allah the Almighty, during these days and also in the future, always keep the Jamaat and the members of the Jamaat safeguarded from every evil of the enemy. Out of compassion and sympathy, also pray that Allah the Exalted saves the world from that destruction which it is rapidly heading towards. Pray also for all the Muslims and also the Muslim leaders, for nowadays they are engulfed in tribulations. They do not attempt to self-reflect that why are they engulfed in these tribulations. May Allah the Almighty grant them the ability to accept the Imam of this age. I would like to also draw attention towards one or two other matters. Give special attention towards prayers during these days. I saw in the morning at the Fajr prayer, people were asleep here in the hall. The prayers completed, yet they continued to sleep, even though the Hajjat was also offered here and then Fajr prayer. Although not the majority, but there were some young people as well. They remained asleep. Even if someone is ill, prayer is still obligatory. They should wake up, say their prayer, and then sleep. This bad example should never be seen in the hall again. The administration must also keep an eye on this. The department of Tarbiyat should wake every single person up. In the same vein, I said this to the workers yesterday and I say to everyone now, to keep an eye on security. Do not assume that we are in a closed hall and there are excellent security arrangements. Indeed, they may be. But even then, every single person must be vigilant in their own circles and keep an eye of everything around them. May Allah the Almighty keep every single person safeguarded from every evil. Secondly, after the Friday prayers, I will lead a funeral prayer in absentia, which is of Mukarrama Sayyida Amatullah Begum Sahiba, who was a daughter of Hazrat Dr. Mir Muhammad Ismail Sahib. She passed away yesterday. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. She passed away at the age of 92. She was the next sibling after Hazrat Choti Appa Mateen Sahiba. After her matriculation examination, she passed Diniyat. She was the wife of the late Peer Salahuddin Sahib. He worked as a deputy commissioner or in any case some very senior governmental positions. From 1943 to 1944, she also remained as a Sadr Lajna of Multan and served in this capacity. Immediately after the partition, she served as Secretary Mal in Rawalpindi and also other Jamaat positions. In 1971, along with her husband, she had the good fortune of performing Hajj, the pilgrimage. One of her qualities that every single person has written regarding her was this, that although she experienced many tragedies, for example, one of her young sons passed away. After the death of her husband, she was with one of her sons. He also passed away suddenly. Yet she always displayed patience and forbearance, and she never left that mantle. She was very regular in prayer and worship. She would always counsel her children that give attention towards worship and never leave your prayer. She was advanced in charitable donations. She had actually arranged for stipends for many women. She also had a keen interest in study and research. She was an example in kindness and love towards relatives and other people. With her family and her in-laws, amongst whom many were non-Ahmadis, she always showed great respect and regard. Her in-laws also gave great reverence to her words and to her. Similarly, she had a great interest in teaching the Holy Quran. Wherever she resided, she would teach the children the Holy Quran. Prior to the classes, she would make full preparations and take notes. Often, she would counsel her children to safeguard themselves from arrogance. Regarding her relatives who had less education, she would say the following, that never be conceited towards them. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of the deceased, and may Allah the Supreme enable her children to always remain attached to the Jamaat and Khilafat and grant them the ability to perform virtues.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ